Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Welcome to Eric Francis Show, where technical difficulties are a weekly feature here. Not sponsored at this point, but we're looking to try and hook someone up with that. We got two great guests today. It's all about storytelling here on this show, and we've got two great storytellers here, maybe two of the best, actually. Craig Conroy is going to join us first, and in the second half hour of the show, Brian Burke is not only going to tell some stories and shed some light on the newest Flame, because he was a Pittsburgh Penguin about an hour ago, but he's also going to make a bit of an announcement with regards to something going on in Calgary that he's involved in, and I wanted him to announce it here first, and so we're going to do that at 1:30. But we do this show every single week at 1 o'clock. That is the time that has been set in stone now for the rest of the season, and we're going to have storytellers aplenty, and we're going to start today's show with one of the best this city's ever had, Craig Conroy. Craig, thanks for joining us, my friend. You there, Craig?
Yep, I can hear you.
Oh, there you are. Okay.
I couldn't hear you at the start of the show, but I can hear you now.
Yeah, I had the wrong headset on.
Can you hear me?
I wanted to ask you. You're
I'm
still
not
here
surprised.
Yeah, I know. News today out of the Flames camp that you guys have claimed Radim Zahorna off of waivers. I'm not going to sit here and put you on the spot and expect that you've scouted this guy and you know everything about him, but maybe you could shed just a little bit of light on the new guy that the Calgary Flames will probably see here in town as early as tomorrow.
You know, obviously I've seen him play, but really it was Steve Plow made the push when waivers came out yesterday. Pittsburgh's his team, and obviously you love the size. He skates well. You know, you go and watch some of his highlights and see what he does and what you kind of wrote down in your reports. But he was really pushing. He thinks this guy can help us. And, you know, to take a chance to bring in a guy with that size, he's got pretty good hands, and you feel like, hey, it's worth a shot. And obviously Berkey's not going to be happy that we took one of his players, so I'm surprised he's even calling in still.
We'll see. Maybe he won't answer.
He's
going
to be a big – hopefully he can come in and play some games. Yeah, exactly.
6'6", 220 pounds. He's a left winger. Can also play the
middle,
I guess.
He's a big man.
Yeah, big man. Undrafted. You know, I was looking at some of his stats. He's played 25 NHL games over the last two seasons, so it was kind of back and forth between the minors and the big club. But 12 goals in 39 games in the AHL last year, that's not bad over the course of a season. 25 goals in the AHL is pretty impressive. So, interesting. Do you have any idea on when he'll be in town?
Well, you know what? I mean, it's always immigration, so I know Mike Burke and Brenda Kojic are working as quick as possible. We'd love to get him into Winnipeg, if possible, for the next game. And, you know, but once we hopefully it's quick, but we would like to get him sooner than later, obviously. But, yeah, you know, his puck protection, his size, he uses that really to his advantage. So, yeah, and he can score. I mean, he's put up some numbers, so hopefully he can come and do the same for us.
Excellent. Okay, so again, that's the news of the day in Flamesland. Radim Zahorna, 26 years old from the Czech Republic, undrafted, was claimed by the Flames off of waivers. About an hour ago, they made the announcement. And a whole raft of Calgary Flames players that were put on waivers for the purposes of going down to the AHL affiliate here in Calgary, all cleared waivers, which includes Matthew Phillips. You know, that's a name. I'm going to ask you briefly about it, Craig, and I want to get into story time because that's my favorite with you. But Matthew Phillips is a guy who people in this city just feel very strongly about, it seems like. I'm not sure where the connection is. I mean, he's obviously a local kid. He's undersized. Everybody loves a story like that. But, you know, I guess I'll just throw it at you. What, you know, you didn't see enough, I guess, from him in camp, or what's the message for him now that he goes back down to the AHL?
Well, I mean, obviously, I thought he played really well in Vancouver. So the Vancouver game was excellent. Yep, can you hear me?
Yep.
Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Can you hear me? Yeah, I'm right here. I can hear you, but you can't hear me?
I can hear you.
Can you hear me?
This is amazing.
Hello? Hello?
I can hear you. There sounds like there's a delay.
Can you hear me? Okay, you can. I know. It's maybe my cell in the dome. It's a hot stove. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, you know, with Matty Phillips, can you hear me now or no?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, Matty obviously had a great game in Vancouver, and he came back. And, you know, it's tough. We have a lot of contracts, a lot of guys that are here, and obviously we still would like to have seen him play a few more games, but, you know, had to make the decision of what to do. And, you know, for him to go down is just to play as well as he can and then be ready to go. I mean, especially with us being in the same city now as American League team, Darrow's going to get lots of chances to watch him, and I believe he's going to be a guy that he stands out every time you watch the game. I mean, he comes to work. He might not be the biggest guy, but he makes things happen, and he helps your team win. That's what we want to do in the NHL. So if he continues to do that, you know, I believe he's going to get a chance at some point to be back up and hopefully prove that.
The decision to claim Zahorna off of waivers today, how much of that has to do with this spot that the team just seems to have a hard time filling right now on that second line? I'm not suggesting he's going to be a second line player for you, but, you know, is this the fact that Milano hasn't really stood out and Eakin maybe not so much? Has that had anything to do with you guys claiming this guy, or you just think it's a depth move?
Well, this is a guy that Steve Plow liked. I mean, he's liked him for a while. So even when you go and watch him, you know, Steve will say, hey, make sure to watch this guy. He's big. He's got some skill. You know, there's something there with him. So I think when he was on waivers today, it wasn't even so much the other guys. It was like, this is a guy that Steve's targeted and wanted, and now we went and picked him up. And, you know, the one thing about waivers is whatever happens, we're going to get a great look at him. We're going to get to see what we want. And, you know, it's still a battle with all these guys in camp. They're still fighting for that spot. If someone plays better than him or he outplays them, you know, they're going to get the spot. That's how Darrow works. I mean, Darrow's not going to do it because one guy signed, one guy isn't. He's going to go with the player that he thinks is going to help him win. And that's his mindset, and that's the way it should be. I mean, that's what we're trying to do here in the NHL. We're here to win games, and whoever can help you, that's who's going to be in the lineup that night.
So tell me about Dubé. I really feel like Dubé is the perfect guy for that spot, and I know he's going to get a shot at it tonight. You know, why might that be a good fit to have Dylan Dubé on that second line with Mangiapane and Kadri?
Well, first of all, I mean, I think watching Kadri, he looks like he's going to be easy to play. He even has better skill than you think when you kind of watch the game, when you see him in practice, see him every day. And I think just the speed that Dubes brings, and he's got a great shot. People underestimate maybe his shot and what he can do. And I think you have, with Mange and him, have a little bit of chemistry. And now to put Kadri in there with all that skill, I mean, so he brings the speed. He's got grit. And he's got a good shot. So, and we always believe he's a top six forward. When we drafted him, you know, out of Kelowna, it was because, hey, we believe this guy can be a top six, and now he's in a great opportunity. He's going to have a great opportunity to prove that, you know, that he belongs there.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a great fit. We're talking to Craig Conroy from the Calgary Flames. At the bottom of the hour, we'll have Brian Burke coming on to talk about a number of different things. You're listening to the Eric Francis Show every week here at 1 o'clock. On Sportsnet 960. And I just, the fan feedback line's open, 960-960 if people have questions. But I want to get, you know, away from camp a little bit here in a second. But I have one more question. You know, everybody's been talking about Eakin. Oh, I lost you again. Eakin, can you hear me now? I wanted to ask you about Sonny Milano.
Yeah. Can you hear me? I can hear you now. Yeah, sorry.
Sonny Milano, what do we still need to see from him?
Well, you want to see him bring that skill. I mean, you want to see him bring the skill. I mean, obviously he hasn't played with top NHL guys yet, but you have a few games left, and you want to see him play the way he did with Zegras last year. But, you know, if that's at some point he gets a chance with, you know, a guy like Kadri, someone in the top six, you'd like to see when he gets that opportunity, him kind of rise up and show us that skill that we've seen in the past from him. So, you know, it's always hard because you're trying to do so much in camp, and especially when you're like, I got to do a lot to make the team. Sometimes you try a little bit too hard. But for him, we just need to play him to play the game that we're accustomed to watching. So that's really about it for Sonny.
Okay. Did you hate camp as a player? Can't believe this phone line. You know what, Craig? We're gonna hang up and get our producer to call you back, just because this phone line is, or actually, I don't know if our producer, you got him again. Okay, here we go, Craig. I wanted to ask you about camp. Did you hate it as a player?
Did I hate camp as a player?
Yeah.
No, well, you know what? I dreaded camp when I was really young, and I dreaded camp when I was old because I knew everything you did is going to be scrutinized and picked over. So it was always stressful for me, even when I felt like I was an established NHL player. And with a contract, you still want to do well. I mean, you got all these people always trying to take your job, and you're trying to make sure, you know, hey, I want to play in the NHL. I want to be in the top line. I want to play in the power play, penalty kill, all that. So it was always stressful. But I think when you get down to the, you know, the last week and the team's getting close, you know, and then it just becomes excitement for the regular season to get going. So, yeah, camp was always a little nerve-wracking for me, but I loved it when it got to the last, you know, 4 or 5 days of camp and then ready to get going.
But even in those years when you were totally solidified, and you know, I get what you're saying. Early in your career and late in your career, there was some doubt and there's fear your job might be in jeopardy. But in the middle, the heart of your career, how did you approach preseason games as a necessary evil? Did they really feel like they were getting you warmed up for the season? Or were you just like, God, please don't play me in too many preseason games?
No, I wanted to play as many. It usually took me a while to get going, so I wanted to play in as many as possible. I mean, the 1 year Chris Drury came in after Jerome and I had the good first year. So you want to keep your job. I mean, yeah, every game means something. At least that's the way I took it. Every game was getting ready for the regular season, and being a little bit of a slow starter for me, I always wanted to play in as many games, actually, as I could. I'd rather do the play in the games than have.
We lose him again. This is unbelievable. And we're in the hot stove lounge downstairs. Craig Conroy is upstairs in the Flames offices. It really shouldn't be that hard, but yet the phone keeps cutting out.
You want to talk to me?
Yeah, Wilsey's here. Aaron's going to try and get to...
Connie's a way better storyteller than I am, I can tell you that.
I'm not going to say, yeah, for sure, you're right, but sure.
Yeah, I'm right.
It's hard to compare anyone.
I'm not right all that often, so at least Conroy. Give me this one.
Yeah, you nailed that one. Aaron, we still don't have him? Oh, we got him back. Okay, Craig, sorry. I don't know why your phone keeps... Yeah, you got to get a better plan, man.
I know. Well, hey, we're all together. I mean, it's talk to the Flames. You're right down there right now. Give them grief. Tell them I need a new phone.
I know you should have. You got yeah, or you should have put on 300 steps and come downstairs here. But anyway,
tell
me about. There must be some guys you played with over the years who were notorious for either faking injuries during camp or just dogging it in camp. Or just hating camp that come out, stick out in your mind over the years?
I don't know if they dogged it in camp, but they didn't like camp. I remember Patrick Waugh, my first camp, we had to do a bench press in the testing, and he said, I've never seen the bench press stop a puck. I'm not doing that. And he just walked away. I was like, oh, that's that. So, I mean, I think Hulley didn't love it. You know, a lot of the veteran guys, the superstars, you know, Jerome wasn't a big fan of it. You know, he's like, if I could play one game and get going, that's kind of what I want to do. But, yeah, but when they went out there, and whether they're playing an exhibition game, they came to play. I mean, that's the one thing about them being a competitor. And, you know, but overall, I think guys would rather – I wanted to play every game. A lot of the top superstars, they wanted to play, like, one and then get going. They were like, oh, this is boring, you know. When it really counts and the stats counts, that's when I want to play. You know, and that's kind of the way it was. But for the most part, you know, I think now camp's so short. Remember, it was 3 weeks before you had a game before. Now it's like 4 days. So, you know, it's not really that long anymore. I think the guys have it pretty easy, to be honest.
Isn't that kind of – I heard a great story about Kiprusoff with the fitness testing, and he basically showed up and said, I'm not doing that. did you see that?
Yeah, he just didn't – You know, I mean, I think when you get – he didn't do that the first year, but I think as you get established – and it seems like, you know, our goalies are actually in good shape. But, yeah, goalies back in the day, Grant Fears, you know, Vernie, they didn't love the fitness testing. So, you know, they're like, that doesn't stop pucks. I stop the puck. So that was kind of their mindset.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you look at camp differently? I mean, obviously you're wearing a completely different hat than you did when you played, but – Do you see camp as a very valuable tool in terms of adjudicating the talent that you have in the organization moving forward?
I take camp with a grain of salt a little bit, to be honest. I know what guys have done the last 4 or 5 years, tracking players. If we've had guys 10 years, you know, if you have Backlund, you know, if Backlund had a bad camp, I wouldn't be worried. I mean, he's having a good camp, but, you know, so you kind of go on what you see over the whole course of their career, not just because some guys just, you know, whether they've been hurt, they haven't been skating as much, you know, getting back into the time and timing of everything, it takes time. So I don't, you know, once the regular season starts, yeah, then we're back to full on, you know, it carried over. We didn't like his, you know, we didn't like kind of camp, and now it's carrying over in the first couple of games. We don't want to see that for sure.
No. Yeah, exactly. Now, it's funny because we in the media take any cue we can from Daryl or any coaches or even teammates or anybody who says anything about anyone, like, oh, what are you seeing? Because you guys obviously see it a lot better and differently than we do. You walked by me the other night after, I think, one of the first preseason games, and you just kind of said out loud, man, that Poirier has great hands. So that was just a little small indication that we're getting from everybody, which is you're really impressed with this guy during camp.
Yeah, you know, it's little plays that he makes with the little backhand soft passes, the quick plays. You know, he undressed, I forget which Vancouver guy it was now, but you're like, whoa. You know, things like that catch your eye. You've seen him do it in junior, but now he's doing it against guys that play in the American League or the NHL. So, you know, that's impressive. I mean, obviously there's parts of his game. I know Daryl after the game said he's got a lot to learn, but what he did do really well was show us that skill set, you know, which was very, very impressive in the game. And you just want him to bring that confidence to the American League. And then hopefully at one point he's running the power play in the NHL. I mean, that's the goal.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's still with the team for those people who are kind of following after all the cuts were made yesterday. I would say he's the biggest surprise in camp so far this year. Would you agree with that?
I agree. I mean, he really looked good. I mean, you know what? He was here all summer. He trained. He's in good shape. He's committed himself. I mean, and that's all you can ask your players to do is commit and want to be the best. And he's trying to do that. And, you know, with like I said, with all the guys on one-way contracts, for him still to be here is impressive because he did enough to show that coaching staff that, hey, you know what? I do belong. And that's all you can ask is management. That's all you can ask because the coaches don't really know the players that well until they're out on the ice with them. They see him. I mean, Daryl would know who he is. You know, he won the Memorial Cup last year, but to actually be on the ice with him and see him, that's when it makes a huge, huge difference for the young guys. You know, obviously if Kadri coming in, the coaching staff knows him, so, you know, it's nothing. But for the young guys coming, this is their first hands-on where they're seeing him day in and out. For him to still be here, they're very impressive.
Yeah, absolutely. A couple more here with Craig Conroy. I wanted to ask you about Daryl never ceases to surprise, amaze us, entertain us, frustrate us.
Lost him again.
What? Oh, my God, we lost him again, really. Can
you
not hear me
back,
right now?
I'm back.
Okay,
I'm
there
back.
You're in and out. My God, it's like a night at Cowboys. So Daryl this morning had what I think many will construe as a shot at Johnny Gaudreau. Did you hear what he said about Jonathan Huberdeau? Okay, we lost him again.
Well, this is unbelievable. I missed it. I couldn't hear you for a minute. You said something about Huberdeau. I couldn't hear Daryl had a shot at him.
Daryl was asked. Daryl was asked about Huberdeau today, and he said he's the best passer that this team has probably ever had, which is, I think many people will see that as a shot at Johnny Gaudreau. Do you see that the same way? Oh, good God. All right, we're going to wrap up, Craig Conroy. I don't know what's going on.
I can hear it.
You can hear me now.
So he's the best passer ever what?
Best passer this team's ever had.
Oh, that's interesting. I mean, he's definitely up there. You know, I would say Gaudreau, Tanguay. I don't know. I can't remember Lube and all those guys as well. Like, you would probably be able to tell me better. But he's definitely, I mean, he's an elite vision. You have to be ready when you're playing with him because even the other night, Anderson stop skating. If he would have just taken one more stride, he didn't think Huber saw him, but he totally did. It would have been right on his stick. So he is a special talent. So that's I think time will tell, but definitely from what he's done in Florida and you know what you see in practice and every day, he's got elite passing and vision, and you know it was exciting to get him. Let's put it that way. You know, when you lose Johnny and then all of a sudden you're able to get Huberto, that was a home run for us for sure.
Right on. Okay, Craig, we're going to wrap you up before I lose you again. Thank you for your time, my friend. We'll see you at the game tonight. We lost him again. Craig, thank you, my friend.
I lost you again, Eric.
Yeah, we'll talk to you at the Dome tonight.
Okay, bye, bud. Bye.
Thanks. Appreciate your time. There it is, Craig Conroy, or at least parts of him. We will seek to straighten out our technical difficulties here. I do think it was Craig's phone. It cut out a couple of times, and our producer called him back. So either way, sorry about that, everybody, but always good to get insights from Craig Conroy, great storyteller. And, man, that's such a great story. I remember hearing a good story about Kiprusoff, and I can't remember who told me, where he basically showed up for the VO2, the max, you know, where you really go hard and a lot of guys throw up. And he basically looked at them and he said, I'm not doing it. I just showed up to tell you that I'm not going to do it. And then he walked away. And at that point in time, he just won a Vezina. So who's going to say anything about him? They're going to suspend him. They're going to keep him out of the lineup. They're going to admonish him in any way. Nope. They just said, keep stopping the puck the way you do. And you can pick and choose whatever you want to do around here, including media, which he hardly ever did either. And if he did, you were lucky if he took the chew out of his mouth first. To talk to you. That was a real courtesy that Kipper would throw us every once in a while. Okay, you're listening to the Eric Francis Show. It's brought to you by Horse Racing Alberta, live standardbred racing every Friday and Saturday at Century Downs Racetrack and Casino, and at Track 2 in Lacombe every single Sunday. Thehorses.com, 18 plus. Please play responsibly. All right, we'll be back, and we're going to take a quick break here. We're going to come back with Brian Burke. He has a bit of an announcement to make about something he's doing here in Calgary, and we're also going to get his insights on the latest Calgary Flame, who was claimed off waivers about an hour and a half ago, Radim Zahorna, 6'6", 220 pounds, fits right into the mold that this coach likes, and we'll see what Burke says in terms of why he maybe was available and what he might be able to bring to this organization. You're listening to Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
This is the Eric Francis Show, brought to you by Horse Racing Alberta on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
All right, happy Monday. And just got a note from Craig Conroy apologizing for his phone. He's had some problems with it in the past. So that was his phone issue. But either way, sorry about the difficulties. We have another great guest coming up here now. I think you're familiar with his work, you're familiar with his name, Brian Burke. He is now running the Pittsburgh Penguins, did a hell of a job over the summer signing a couple of names that no one thought he'd be able to sign. Do we have him on the line, Aaron? Because he's calling me on my phone. Okay, good. Someone else is calling.
I'm
okay.
Here.
Brian, are you there?
Yeah, what are you doing?
I don't know. I'm lost. How are you, my friend?
Good.
Thanks for joining us. I wanted to pick your brain on a number of different things, but first of all, I think we should get it out of the way. I wanted to use this space to announce an event that you're going to be involved in, and you were the one who's kind of spearheaded this and approached me with it, so I appreciate that. You're in town with the Pittsburgh Penguins October 25th, and you graciously offered to stay another night so that we could do another hot stove. Charity hot stove will do it for Kids Sport Calgary, and you've enlisted the help of a friend as well. I'll let people, you can tell people who's going to join us.
Well, Brad's living, and then we'll see who else we can scare up. But just talking to you, Eric, and thinking, you know, the hot stoves we had done in Calgary had been successful, and there's no reason we can't stay over and do one, even though the team's flying on. So, I think it's a great thing. We'll raise some money for Kids Sport, just like we do for Berkey's Targets for Kids. And it'll be a great event. We'll raise some money.
I appreciate that. So the details in terms of a venue and tickets for sale, I'll have all that for next week's show, but also on Twitter, I'll be updating everybody on all that. But the 26th of October, it is a Wednesday night. We will do it at a local establishment here. And those hot stoves are always, when I started doing them, I don't know, 5-6 years ago, they were custom made for someone like you who loves to tell stories, loves to let loose. And what I think is special about them is it's all off the record. Everybody turns off their phones. There are no photos. There's no audio. We just tell great stories and without filters. And that's entertaining as hell. So I encourage people to buy some tickets when they get a chance and come out and support Kidsport and also hear some great stories from you and
we'll
Brad.
We'll see, too, Eric. Sorry to interrupt you. We'll see, too, if we can do a book signing in there. We have stopped printing the book, but I bought the last 300 or 400 copies of the book at my cost, and we're making them available at limited book signings now for people who want the book. Pay whatever the price is, $50 or $100, it all goes right to the charity. So I'm not making any money off this. Not only am I not making money, it's costing me money, but if someone wants to get a book signed, we'd put a premium on that and put that in the kids' sport as well.
Well, bless you. Bless you. That'll be awesome. Yeah, so you can get a book personally signed by Berkey and also hear some great stories that night. So again, more details, October 26th. Right here in Calgary. It's one day before the Pizza Pig Out. And so there's lots going on for Kidsport here that week. So that'll be great. So I guess, first of all, I want to ask you about the job that Brad did this summer here in Calgary. Obviously, every GM's nightmare to have those sort of issues sprung on you. But I would suggest that you, and I've heard you talk about it before, he came out pretty good.
Well, I think it's about as difficult. You know, my job is I work for Pittsburgh. I don't need to come on here and toot Brad Treliving's horn, but I don't think there's anyone in hockey doesn't think he did a nice double flip to get out of that predicament they were in. He was faced with loss of some pretty significant players and replaced them and then some people think, and I'll leave that argument to other people, but are they a better team even now that with these changes? So I'll leave that to the experts in Calgary, but however yardstick you want to apply to this, Brad Treliving did a great job turning a mess into a pretty good lineup.
Yeah, I think everybody in Calgary agrees with that, and the debate rages on, are they a better team than last year? And I don't think anybody will have an answer for another month or two, if not longer. So tell me about the kid that the Calgary Flames claimed off waivers today, because he was with your organization a couple hours ago. Radim.
Until today, yeah.
Yeah,
well, his name is Radim Zahorna. He's a Czech player. He's 6'6", left shot. He's a great kid. He works very hard. He's very coachable. He listens. He was having a good training camp. He lost 6 or 8 pounds to try and get a little quicker, and it really showed up. It's funny because if you look at international competition, he's got two brothers that play. They're both great big giraffes, too, like him. So there's three of them played on a line in one tournament a couple of years ago, all three of them.
Is that right?
So I think people like him. He's a big kid, but he's got good hockey instincts and skates well, and he's a nice young man. So we would have preferred to keep him, but we wish him well.
And he can play. Can he play center as well?
Yeah, he can. He can play center or on the wall. And with European skill set, he could play the offside if he needs to as well. So, and he's a big body, you know, big people get in the way. They're hard to go around. So I think it's a good pickup for them. And like I say, we would have preferred to leave him where he was, but that's how life works, and that's how guys get opportunities elsewhere.
Yeah, absolutely. So Radim Zahorna is now a Calgary Flame. If you hadn't heard the news earlier today, he was claimed off waivers from Brian Burke's Pittsburgh Penguins. So tell us about camp in Pittsburgh. Any surprises for you guys so far?
Well, surprise, maybe not. We're not having the training camp that we had hoped, certainly. No panic. You know, we've got a veteran group, and we've got one of the most successful teams. You go back when I talk about this, this is what the Athletic said when they rated teams in the last 15 years. You know, the Penguins have been amazingly successful over the last 15 years, 16 years in a row in the playoffs. So we expect, we have a very high bar in terms of our expectations, but we haven't been very impressive so far. So we're hoping that we play tonight in Detroit. We hope that that change is starting tonight, but with, especially our power play, we haven't been very good.
Okay, how about health-wise? You know, Sidney Crosby and Malkin are two guys who continually have health issues by virtue of the fact they play the game so hard. They so far unscathed in camp?
Well, with Evgeny Malkin, with Gino, his issue has been he had two major knee surgeries back-to-back years. So my first year here, which was 2 years ago, he had one knee done, and the next year he had the other knee done. So he's missed big chunks of both years. But other than that, and this is like, say, aside from that, Mrs. Lincoln, how did you enjoy the play? Mm-hmm. But other than that, he's been pretty durable his whole career. He's a big man, and he's pretty pretty durable. He plays hurt. He can play with play through pain and play with injuries. So he's been good so far. Sid has had an amazingly durable career except for a couple shots from concussions. Mm-hmm. And he's been durable for us the last little bit too. So, and Chris Letang's the other older guy that's in there. He's been durable the last couple of years. So that has not been a big an issue other than for Gino.
Okay. You know, the whole hockey world looked at Malkin and Letang, both UFAs into the summer. And I think no matter where you read it, most people didn't believe that you could get both signed, let alone one of them. How'd you manage to pull that rabbit out of a hat? And is it a real credit to those guys for trying to make it happen?
Well, it was very simple to me. We told our people that they have to come back with pay cuts if they want to come back. And they both took pay cuts and came back. They both got longer term deals maybe than people expected, but we had to get the cap number workable and make it work and bring them both back. So that was the key. First get Chris Letang signed and then get Gino signed. And we wanted them both back. They had to make some sacrifices in terms of salaries. But we're excited to have them both back. And, you know, the last two seasons, we lost in the first round. And people say, oh, their team's, you know, getting near the end. They can't do it anymore. We played well enough to win both of those series. First mm-hmm. series against the Islanders, second series against the Rangers. We were up in the Rangers series. And we ended up down to our number three goalie in the last four of the last five games. And Sid got hurt and missed a couple games. And Doolin got hurt and missed a few games. So we were really banged up. But we played well enough in both those series to win and should have won in our view. So we don't think we're past not having any gas in that tank. We think we had enough to win the last 2 years.
Tell me about Jeff Petrie. Obviously he brings tremendous depth to your blue line and some star quality as well. How excited are you to have a guy like that added to your blue line?
Well, with Jeff Petrie, I had him with the U.S. team a couple times, and at least once, I think twice. And big right shot who can skate, 220 pounds, 218 pounds, whatever he is, right shot, can run a power play, can block shots, can get in the way, big body, and a character guy. And just we felt last year was an aberration for him, that he didn't have a very good year and that he would bounce back from that. And so far, we look like we're exactly right on that. It's really nice to have him here.
Tell me, we're talking to Brian Burke from the Pittsburgh Penguins. Tell me about Sidney Crosby. I mean, you get asked about him all the time. You see him, you know, not just inside the rink doing what he does on the ice, but outside the rink. Give me an example of just how special a guy he is or something you've seen him do in Pittsburgh since you've been there, because the stories are legendary about what a great ambassador he is.
Well, it's not, you hear all these stories, and, you know, we missed out on getting the drafting Sid in Anaheim in 06. We had a chance, or 05, we had a chance to, we came in second in the lottery, drafted Bobby Ryan, who's been a nice pick for us. He's a great kid. But a chance to draft Sid, and that went by the wayside. And you hear all these stories all these years of what a leader he is and all this, and then you get him. Because you don't ever realize how good a player is or how bad a player is until you have him, and you're watching him every day. And then you watch Sid and you say, good Lord, everything they said was true and then some. Like his work ethic, his attention to detail. And my favorite story since I've been here, one of them, there's favorite stories about Sid all the time, but our second or third game, Sid had a chance to score. Jake Gensel passed the puck to him. He had a chance to score from the side of the goal mouth. And the goalie made the save. And the next day, I go out early, Sid's out there. He's practicing that exact shot from that exact same spot on the ice. Took it 40 or 50 times. And then, like, two games later, he got the exact same scoring chance and scored. Now, I don't know too many guys that go and take 50 shots to replicate a shot opportunity they had one game before, but that's what he does.
That is amazing. He really is just that good, isn't he, on and off the ice? And I know you had always said to him when you'd pass by him or meet him the odd, you know, NHL event, you'd always say, you know, you were this close to working with me. When you got the opportunity to go back into the game in the management side and be part of the Pittsburgh Penguins, I know you've spoken about how storied a franchise it is, but I would assume that the chance to work with Crosby was a big part of the allure. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. You're exactly right. That's exactly 100%. And I was resigned to continuing my broadcasting career. I liked working for Sportsnet. I loved the people there. And we were staying until Pittsburgh offered us a job. And a big part of it was the allure of having Sidney Crosby. I've had star players before. I had Pavel Bure. I had the Twins. I had Mass. You know, I had some great players. I had Teemu Selanne. I had Scott Niedermayer. I had Chris Pronger. I've had great stars before, but this guy's he's top of the list.
Yeah. I don't think that surprises anybody to hear that. How about you on a personal level? Are you still, you know, making regular jaunts every week or so back to Toronto to see your daughters?
Yep, not quite as often because the oldest one graduated from high school. She's doing a gap year. My younger daughter, I haven't seen too much around lately, but everything's good. We're back there regularly and go from there.
Awesome. Berkey, I won't take up any more of your time. I appreciate you joining us today, shedding a little light on the new Flame, and also, you know, helping me announce that you're coming for a charity hot stove October 26th at a venue that will be announced in the next couple of days, all for Kidsport Calgary. Make sure that people will just, I guess, follow on at Eric Francis on Twitter or through Kidsport Calgary. They'll find out the details. You, Brad Treliving, and we'll probably have another guest in there as well to share some laughs. So thank you for offering up to do that, my friend. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, sir. See you, and good luck to Z.
Okay. Thank you. There he is, Brian Burke. I just called him 5 minutes before the show and said, hey, will you come on and talk about the hot stove? He was happy to do it, happy to talk about Zahorna. He's a good man. Gives back to the hockey community a ton. I think people saw that in Calgary a lot. I'll never forget, and I hope he's not on the line and can't hear me right now, but we had done a charity hot stove with the Strajditsky family shortly after the Humboldt bus crash. And Mrs. Strajditsky went to the washroom at one point in time. We were sitting with them for the bulk of the night. And I don't remember how much it was, but he likes to carry some cash in his pocket, like quite a bit. And I've seen him dip into that wallet of his and put it in a, you know, in a jar, or, you know, for charity events where he'll just make a $500 donation of cash right there. Anyway, he slipped a sizable amount of money into her purse. And I saw him do it, just tucked it in the side there, her bag or whatever. And he looked at me and he said, don't you say a word. And I didn't say a word for a long time. And then when he left town, I had to write about it because it was just symbolic of all the things he does to donate and help people around whatever city he's in. So he continues to do that. So we thank him. We thank him for that. All right, Flames fans, how are you feeling about Matthew Phillips? It's amazing to me how connected people are with this player, even though he's only played one game in the National Hockey League. I think because he's got some ties to Calgary. I think that, he's a skilled player. We just watched a small skilled player dominate here in Calgary for a lot of years in Johnny Gaudreau. And I think a lot of people are thinking or hoping that he may be able to follow in Johnny's path in some, smaller way, no pun intended. But when he was demoted yesterday, I couldn't believe how many people are really upset about this. And, you know, my theory has always been that he will not get a chance with the Calgary Flames with this head coach. And I'm not saying it's a personality clash. I just think today's a good example of the player that the Calgary Flames plucked off waivers. 6'6", 220 pounds. They signed Brett Ritchie in the offseason because he's big. You know, we've all read the stories and heard the stories about Adam Klapka, who's 6'8". This organization under Daryl Sutter, and of course with Brad Treliving, they work in concert, but, you know, believes that you need size in today's NHL to be successful. It doesn't mean you can't have the odd small player. I just think that with the array of talent that the Calgary Flames have really started to gather at the minor league level, even though Matthew Phillips led the AHL team last year in points, I don't think he's in their top two or three guys that they would call up this year if an injury occurred. I guess it depends on who would get injured and what sort of role they need filled. But I think that the one game that the Calgary Flames gave Matthew Phillips was very token. And I think that, and I'm glad they did it. But I don't think we're going to see him again. I hope I'm wrong on this. But I just, and maybe the fact that he's now going to play in Calgary and literally Daryl can go and see him, you know, a handful, I don't know, a dozen times this year during the season, maybe he will turn into more of a believer of Matthew Phillips. But, you know, even the coach yesterday kind of alluded to the fact that a lot of players don't have the strength or size to be regular NHLers. And I think he was talking in a small part about Matthew Phillips. And I think it's too bad. And I love the kid. Just we spoke to him during camp. And he's patient and he's polite. And he's just a wonderful ambassador for this team, this organization, the Wranglers and everything. I wondered if it would have been better for him to have been plucked off waivers today. He was not. So we will see him as a Calgary Wrangler, which is exciting news for people who want to go and watch the Wranglers this year. It's just another reason why people should and probably will go down and support that team quite well. He's a guy that you want to watch. And, you know, I would love to be proven wrong on all this and see him get called up by the team at some point in time. But I have my doubts. You know, in terms of the other moves that were made over the weekend, I would say that there really were no surprises in camp this year. And when I asked Craig Conroy that earlier, he kind of agreed, you know, the real only surprise to me is seeing Poirier still here amongst the 10 defensemen. I think it's rewarding him for having a really good camp, rewarding him for, you know, being a guy who listened to them when they said you need to dedicate yourself more to hockey and to the off season and training and all that. He's done everything they've asked him to do, and all that combined with the fact that he's always had tremendously skilled hands and a mind for hockey. I think it's wonderful that he's here still this late in the game. I don't think he's going to start the season with the Calgary Flames, but it sure bodes well for a kid like that to stay around a little longer, get a little more action with the big boys. And maybe that means that the call-up that he gets in the NHL comes a little sooner than we probably all anticipated. So that's a neat story for the Calgary Flames for sure. Now, the game tonight, for those who are coming down to the Dome to watch the Flames play the undefeated Seattle Kraken, yeah, I said that, you are going to see the top line will not be playing tonight, but Andrew Mangiapane, Nazem Kadri and Dylan Dubé will make that second lineup. And that is exciting to me. Dubé, to me, is the answer for that second line spot that they were hoping Sonny Milano would fill. And I think Dubé deserves it. And I tell people, I share this little anecdote. You know, last year there was a kid who had 18 goals who turned into a 35-goal scorer with a little bit more opportunity. Dubé had 18 goals last year, maybe with a little more opportunity. He could light it up a whole lot more. I'm not suggesting he'll be a 35-goal scorer, but I think placed with Kadri and Mangiapane, which is where I hope and you know, I hope that he will land, I think that could be a really great trio for this team. You know, in terms of the PTOs, we got Derek Wills here. We just got a couple minutes left before we got to go, but how would you describe what we've seen from Sonny Milano and Cody Eakin?
Milano, meh.
Yeah, meh. Okay.
Eakin, as advertised, I would say. But for me, they're fighting for two different spots.
Sure.
And if Milano's going to be on this team, it's going to be as a middle six scorer slash point producer, maybe a second unit power play guy. If Eakin's going to be on this team, it's going to be as a fourth liner or 13th or 14th forward. Mm-hmm. But Eakin's kind of been during training camp and the preseason what he's been throughout his entire career, outside of that one outlier that year he had with the Golden Knights. Lots of guys have had those types of years with that team. But, you know, I just think he's a guy who you know what he's going to bring night in, night out. You can trust him. Might not play every night, but if he does play, he'll probably give you what you need from him. I would say that Milano has to do more in the one, two, or three preseason games that he gets. And I'll have to wait and see how it plays out. It still feels like they're looking for someone to fill that middle six spot on the wing. And Dylan Dubé gets a promotion, we'll call it a promotion to the second line, which I think he's earned during training camp in the preseason. The question is, who's going to play on the wings on that third line? That's the question mark I've got.
You know, on that third line, the coach was saying today, and he believes in pairs, which he says is the way the NHL works. It's pairs that most coaches are trying to put together and then find that third person on any line. He loves Backlund and Coleman together. So I think that that's a fixture that he doesn't really want to mess with. I think Coleman would be a candidate to go up on a second line if he needed to, but the coach would rather those two stay together and be incredible shutdown players together. So I'm not worried about the third line in terms of who they put there. I think you could put any number of Lewis, Richie, you know, that doesn't bother me. If they can just solve that second line right wing spot, which I think Dubé can do. And the GM said he wanted to see what he had in camp. And if he doesn't see what he needs in camp, he'll look elsewhere. I don't think that the kid they picked up today, Radim Sehorna, is the guy who they're thinking could be a second line player in the NHL. He's only played 25 NHL games. But I do think that I agree with you. That's a spot they really want an answer to. Maybe Dubé can start answering it tonight.
Yeah, and I don't know if they need an answer right now.
No.
Because
no, I agree.
They do have a surplus of defensemen. And when Oliver Shillington comes back, they're going to have even more of a surplus of defensemen. And I still wonder if this team's going to move a defenseman to bring in a top six or at least middle six winger at some point in time. But I think what you have right now, because of the guys you have up the middle, is you have some balance. And I still think after what happened last spring in that series against the Oilers, the Flames have kind of built a team to deal with their provincial rival. When you're going up against Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl as their number 1-2 or 1A, 1B guys, you better be good up the middle. Otherwise, they're going to beat you, as they did in the Stanley Cup playoffs last spring. So now you've got arguably the best 1-2-3 punch as far as 200-foot centermen go in the league when you've got Lindholm, Kadri, and Backlund. Mm-hmm. So I think any of those lines can be a quote-unquote shutdown line and go up against the best players in the league. But if you want three shutdown-slash-scoring lines, you might be one winger away from that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unless someone emerges. But as Daryl has said a couple of times now, in the fight for that middle six spot on wing, no one's really separated themselves from the pack. Would you agree?
Yeah, I agree. And no one's really had a huge camp. I'd say the guy who's had the best camp, there's a question for you, and we got to go here, but who's had the best camp that has everybody talking and buzzing? I would say it's Michael Stone. And yet I still don't think that there's really a spot for him and they're starting six, even with Shillington out of town. I think there's a spot for him in the organization, no question. It's just a matter of, do you sign him to a minor league contract? Do you sign him to a two-way contract? I certainly don't think you have to sign him to a one-way contract. I know people in this city love him, though, and we in the media love him, and I think he's done everything you can ask for on a PTO in terms of standing out. And they know what he is anyway. So I think that he'll be in the organization, no question. Just a matter of, how do you figure out the money?
Is it an AHL contract?
Yeah.
Is it a two-way contract? Is it an NHL contract where he's your number six or seven to start the season? Michael Stone's been really good. I think Connor Mackey's really helped himself in three preseason games that he's played in as well. And I look at those two guys fighting for the six, seven spots on defense. I know they really like Nick Meloche, and they think he could be a little bit smaller version of Eric Branson. Mm-hmm. So you know, it's been fun to watch that battle on defense. As far as who's really stood out to me, I mean, just watching Jonathan Huberdeau play the game up close each and every day, you start to see things that maybe you don't see when you only watch him play in person twice a year. He's been a lot of fun to watch. Some of the plays he makes, Eric, I shouldn't even throw this out there because I'm going to get crushed for doing it. But when Wayne Gretzky was in his prime, he played like he had eyes in the back of his head. Like, how did he see that guy? Mm-hmm. Jonathan Huberdeau made one pass, and he's He had a lot of passes like this in his career, but he made a pass in a preseason game, and basically he spun and saw a guy coming off the bench and sprung him. And I looked over at Lou and
spin-orama.
I thought to myself, how did he see that and put the puck right on his teammate's stick, right on the tape?
Yeah,
it was beautiful.
He'll be fun to watch. Yeah. He won't be in the lineup tonight, but we're going to see him probably the last two games and, of course, all season long. So.
And Dan Vladar, in my opinion, has been the Flames preseason
good call.
MVP.
Good call. Forgot about him. As a skater, I was talking about skaters.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he's been fantastic. All three goalies.
Yeah.
All three of them, I believe, have a save percentage over .950. That's pretty otherworldly. And I think, you know, not that they can keep that pace up, but that's going to be the strength of this club all season long if they're going to have success. Okay, we got to wrap it up. Thanks, Derek Wills. We want to thank Brian Burke for joining us and Craig Conroy. You've been listening to the Eric Francis Show. It's brought to you by Horse Racing Alberta. Live standardbred racing every Friday and Saturday at Century Downs Racetrack and Casino and at Track 2 in Lacombe every single Sunday. TheHorses.com, 18+. Please play responsibly. Thank you for listening. We will talk to you again next week at 1 o'clock and every week there moving forward. You're listening to Sportsnet 960, The Fan.